The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark on America's Web Radio. This week is going to be another week. We're not going to build a train all the way across the Pacific Ocean to the Indian Ocean like Biden will, but we're going to try to do just as good. Basically, we're going to jump right into rhyme time because I have a lot to cover. There's been a lot of boobs around this week. So let's get right into it. Yes, glasses. I'm wearing glasses. Yes, I am. Getting older here, folks. Our manager, Dave, points out, yes, I do have my glasses on. If you want me to not read this in Braille, like the pilot's lounge sign, I have to put on some glasses this week. And let's get right into it now. In a land where freedom's flame once burned bright, the people rose up and were ready to fight. The government is ours, not yours, we cried. With passion and conviction, we marched side by side. We all stood up tall with voices loud, bold, and clear, rejecting government oppression, knowing if we do nothing, the end is near. With every step we take, we must declare our claim to reclaim the people's power and to finally change the game. The government is ours, we have proclaimed. Through the streets and alleys, our message must take aim. No longer can we be silent. We have to take a stance to restore the balance, giving the people's power back. We might now have a chance. Politicians better listen, strict attention with their weary eyes. As we the people uproar, now has to begin to rise. This government is ours. It's not your plaything. Start serving we the people, or you'll hear us at the voting booth. It will sting. We the people with our signs and banners on high. We must march together, take back our country, again reaching for the sky. This government is ours, not yours. We won't relent. We'll hold you accountable for it all. This is what we meant. The leaders better tremble. Their grip on us will now be loose. As we the people's voices grew, we will no longer take the abuse. This government is ours. It must echo in the air. This democratic republic must get back on track. There is no time to spare. We must organize debates so fiery words can be exchanged, demolishing falsehoods, throwing out partisans. We must get away from the deranged. This government is ours, built on hard work and trust, with the heaping of transparency and honor. This, to establish again, we must. We the people will rally, our spirits will alight, giving birth to hope, which will shine now out of darkness so bright. This government is ours, we must maintain it and say, within the laws that our founders intended, and not break them every day. We must vote now for purpose in every running race, choosing representatives who would our principles wholeheartedly embrace. The idea now powers lies with the masses, not in the hands of a few elite, privileged few classes. This government is ours. The chant must now grow strong. As we the people are determined, I hope we haven't waited too long. Together we have been known to rise up, overcoming strife. For the promise of liberty is a strong one. This must be the birth of a second life. And so, dear listeners, let it be known that we the people's powers cannot be overthrown. This government is ours. It's not yours, you deranged elite. We laid our trust in you, and you literally stomped them into the ground at your feet. May this rhyme remind us now and forever that the government's duty is to its people. That's the endeavor. To serve the people, deliver equal justice and grace. For it's we the people you derive your power from, and that defines the space. This government must be ours, not yours. We all shout, we should demand. With undying conviction and courage, we the people must now take a stand. We must move to the future where the people are the power. It cannot be blurred. And where critical in government is that the people's voice are truly heard. In a time of political strife and debate, a tale of President Trump, a man of much debate. Most claim he is now persecuted, not prosecuted. Let's delve further where the lines are drawn, and the country's honors are being looted. Trump, a figure of controversy and fame, his name stirs raw emotions from the elite driven insane. It's clear he was targeted, and now the reality He is treated unfair. But is this what America stands for now? We better beware. Persecuted, not prosecuted. It's becoming clear our government has lied. As lame accusations flew, it was clear American justice had died. We argue as innocents a victim of the government attack. While the critics voice concerns, they want you to forget about the server hack. In courtrooms and headlines, the drama has unfurled. The saga of Trump's persecution, a nation has attacked a leader of the free world. It is clear he is a hero fighting for us in the cause, while the left radicals question his motives and see only his alleged flaws. Persecuted, not prosecuted, it's clear this is insane. But what lay beneath the surface of the swamp? When he gets in, he will drain. Incompetent investigations by Republicans loom with questions to explore. To determine if justice can be resurrected, quite frankly, I am not sure. The wheels of justice turn, they grind with careful precision. Examining actions outside of reality, not seeking truth, only derision. The scales of fairness are now unbalanced, they are broke. As the nation watches, wondering if this is all just a joke. Trump, the victim, it's clear as day if you have eyes. His actions did not warrant this legal abuse, based on government lies. There is no real question and answer sought through this legal process. This is just another hoax to prevent him from obtaining the presidency access. The lack of evidence must be weighed, the spurious arguments heard. As the cases against President Trump, the DNC carefully choreographed, this is patently absurd. Prosecutors will try and lay out some fabricated case step by step. While the truth is buried again by the FBI and DOJ, the facts they just sidestep. Persecuted, not prosecuted, that seems to be the truth. But the truth lately has been elusive in government. This is so uncouth. These courtroom dramas will play out in the light. Decisions that come on America's legacy, these matters, are already a blight. In this tale of President Trump, we must reflect. He stands up for what we, the people, and America, unlike Biden, he did protect. Whether persecuted or prosecuted, the truth must prevail to uphold the values that our nation entails. So let us remember, as part of the Trump story concludes, in this pursuit of no justice by our government, the stench it does exude. For in the realm of law, where fairness must reside, the truth is missing here, and justice has been fried. On the hallowed grounds of the White House lawn, a moment of chaos, all dignity was withdrawn. As the gates swung open wide with gay pride, what a sight to see. Bare boobs on display at the White House for all there to decree. Oh, the scandalous tale that quickly spread, the dignity of our country lost, led astray by the nation's head. Looked out his window, eyes filled with surprise, as the scene was unfolding with his consent right before his very eyes. The White House, which has always been a symbol of power and grace, now tainted by an unexpected Biden embrace. Of indecency as bare boobs and skin was revealed, leaving the White House staff, even those dolts, quite congealed. Our country's dignity lost as the world looked on. The sacredness of the hallowed halls now seemingly gone. The whispers of scandal now filled the political air as people wondered, how did this ever happen? What did it ensnare? On the White House lawn where world decisions are made, now an unconventional pride parade of bare boobs bouncing quite a stir. While the nation watched in horror, thoughts all over, was it a he or a her? The president, bewildered as usual, seemed to take a deep breath, his administration facing another failure of his policies and our nation's continued death. What would be the fallout? How did he respond to this peculiar sight that his failed policies had suddenly spawned? The media should have had a field day. Oh, they tried to cover up the boob fest, as headlines ignored, making the story weirder. Nothing like naked whiteout breasts. Dignity lost, the pundits exclaimed, while the public's attention was simply inflamed. But amidst the chaos, no lesson was found. It just again provided proof under Biden that dignity resides not on that ground, but in Biden's actions, the choices that he does make. To go big with pride at the White House, it's absurd in the end. We all know they were fake. Tell the president and the White House, a symbol of power and might, should stand for more than just a bunch of naked boobies. They were a shocking sight. It's supposed to be a place of leadership, of hope and trust, where dignity prevails and integrity at the White House is a must. In the White House this week, a question arose June 12th on that day. Which one of the boobs was worse? I pondered in this a comical way. Was it the one who was in charge with power and might, or the bare boobs that cause such a scandalous sight? The one in charge, they said, with a confused blink and a wink, made lots of decisions that sometimes made us wonder if he could think. Biden's policies and tweets, oh boy, what a show. Leaving us all scratching our heads, wondering, are you kidding me, Joe? But then, there were the White House bare boobs, large and exposed, causing quite a ruckus in the world, as everyone knows. They stole all the attention like a magician's trick, leaving the White House staff bewildered, wondering which one of them still had their stick. The one who claimed he was in charge, would some argue, was the greater boob. With such actions on the White House lawn, thank goodness no one brought any lube. But others claim the bare boobs were smarter, definitely took the cake. For creating a spectacle this large, quite hard not to see they were fake. Oh, the debate raged on with questionable laughter, and surely we jest, as the White House saga continued to put Biden's decisions to the test. Which one of the boobs was worse, it was hard to declare, for both had their lost moments, causing most of us just to stare. In the end, it was clear as this rhyme did unfold that the White House had another story to spin, both new and old. Whether it was the one in charge or the bare boobs on display, these type of antics keep coming, always in a most bewildering array. So let's take a moment to ponder, chuckle, and laugh at the absurdity that often accompanies Joe Biden in public, and just another gaffe. For in laughter we find relief from Biden causing daily stress, and remember that even in this political chaos, we can still, with a new election, begin to progress. Well, now the question has to be asked. How many candidates does it take to change a country back to normal and to get forgiveness for this mistake? Well, gather around, let's take a deep dive and see if we in America can try and keep this country and our hopes alive. First comes candidate D with lots of lofty speeches, promising changes to make us all happy. It made us think about beautiful beaches. But alas, all their plans are as vague as can be, leaving us wondering if any of them are qualified. And what's their strategy? Then there's candidate T. He's quite a smooth talker. T's toughness could make a mockingbird cry, but does he now maybe need a walker? But behind the great policies and the proven record that we find, the malicious legal cases created by the Democrat machine, Democrat justice is targeted and not blind. Then there's a candidate R arrives. He's arrived all fired up and bold. With slogans and catchphrases, his plans for America, he is really ready to unfold. But as his campaign intensifies and the list of things to fix grows in scope, we start to question real capability. Is that all just mirrors and smoke? Now, candidate H, she enters not so much of a newcomer on the scene. With her fresh new ideas, her message is clear, but her inexperience, on who could she lean? But her lack of experience, until we know more, leaves us concerned. Will she have the chops to fight the swamp when she is at the table of the new position she has just earned? And then let's not forget candidate K, with a unique stance, bringing ideas that make us do a double take. Do we take the chance? But his vision of a new civil America, will it resonate with the masses, or will it just be a fleeting moment, just another election wasted passes? Oh, the list goes on with so many candidates galore, each vying to make America better and maybe change the country's core. But amidst the violent, the virulent commercials, the jabs, the chaos, we can't help but jest. How many candidates does it really take, really, to find someone who will make America again truly blessed? In truth, my listeners, the answer at this point is not so clear. It's going to take a collective effort in America, but far and near. It's not just the candidates who are running, but it's really we the people too. Uniting in our ideas and going for progress together, that's what we have to do. So let's try and keep our sense of humor as forward we stride through another political circus season, and let sanity be our guide. For if we can't laugh this off for any reason, this political turmoil in America must end, and never must we charge political opponents with treason. As this country changes the meaning of justice for one side, it is inevitable it will decline. It will no longer be able the truth to hide. Get America's act together now, or the end is coming soon. It's time in Washington to throw them all out and the Tree of Liberty to prune. From charging heroes with manslaughter for stopping crimes in NYC, to lacking full support in Congress, to holding lying Schiff responsible for the Russia hoax and upholding liberty. This country has completely lost its way and we are heading for a further disaster. I am certain we will not survive another election without something else, someone else, in the White House as the headmaster. A teleprompter is fine for some formal speeches and the like. Let's see if we can this time get someone in the White House who can even ride a bike. For strength is just not a word on the world stage. It's an aura to be seen. It must command respect, be backed with decisive thinking, so that no one will dare challenge us. And yes, sometimes even you have to be mean. So as we come to the end of Rhyme Time this week, once again I remind Americans that in justice it's the truth we the people must demand and seek. I clearly have an agenda to change hearts and minds. That's why I asked you to go out after the show. Tell others what you heard here and get them to see the light so they too can be in the know. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll tell you, every week, I don't know how the world does it. They come up with more and more things to talk about. On a sad note this week, the Stanley Cup Finals are done. Stanley Cup has been awarded to the, oh God, it pains me to say it, but the Las Vegas Golden Knights have won it. 6 years in the NHL, and they have won the Stanley Cup. They kicked the butts of the Florida Panthers. Boy, not good, 4-1. But you know what? There's always next year. But I'll tell you, on a more serious occasion, happy birthday to the U.S. Army, 248th birthday this week. And Flag Day, June 14th, was this week as well. Hopefully you put out your flags. Not that you should only have to put it out. You should have it out all the time. Be proud of America. Be the allegiance. That's what this country's missing, the civility. It's really missing that problem. So we head over to the FBI before the Senate this week. And this was a really interesting exchange before the, Director Paul Abate. The FD 1023. Apparently, the FBI has been in possession of an FD 1023, which is a statement taken from an informant. And what they do with this is they take it, and that is sort of the preceding condition to possibly doing an investigation. Now, this is a very interesting document. It's an unclassified document, by the way. But this has been more classified by the FBI than our top secret nuclear codes that Biden has. And for some reason, amazingly, they first brought it to the Congress, and they let them see it, but they took it back. And then they gave them a redacted condition. I mean, if it was anything like the other reports I've seen from the FBI, they're completely redacted. The only thing it says is probably the date and the time. And it was kind of interesting. Now, again, this is all alleged. It was alleged in there that Biden and Hunter Biden took a total sum of $5 million each for a total of $10 million for those of you who are in the American public school system. 5 plus 5 is $10 million. They got that from a foreign national. Huh. Interesting. Now, there's also alleged in there 17 recordings between the foreign national and Hunter. And two of those recordings are alleged to have been between Joe Biden and the foreign national. Huh. Wonder why that hasn't come out. You know, it's amazing how in a short time they can prosecute cases against Republicans. But somehow or another, when it comes to a document case like Hunter Biden with his gun permit that he lied on, or any of the other numerous crimes that were set forth on his laptop, or the fact that there were 17 recordings and two of them with Joe Biden, that's a problem for me. That's a real problem. That this may be bribery. And by the way, for those of you who don't remember, the Constitution has a very specific provision for impeachment for bribery. So why is the FBI not investigating this? Why is the FBI turning the other eyeball? I know they have a lot of time to go after Trump and parents at school board meetings. I understand that. I mean, domestic terrorists standing up for their kids, yes. I understand that completely. But you would think that a president who's been bribed, allegedly, would be something that they might want to take a look at. And why are those recordings not released? Quite frankly, you know what? I'll tell you like they told Trump. If there's nothing on those tapes, then Joe Biden direct the FBI to release those tapes and the 1023 tomorrow. Because they're not classified. They are not classified. In fact, they're just regular investigative documents. But, alas, I haven't seen that. And our lapdog media hasn't asked any questions about that. Quite frankly, put all the noise and the rest of this aside, that's something that I'd want to know. Okay? And here's another great question. Robert Hare, anyone ever hear of him? No? You never heard of Robert Hare? Huh. Where's he been? Absolutely not one thing about the Biden special counsel investigating Joe Biden. Huh. Wonder why that is. Isn't it amazing how all the leaks come out against the Republicans and not one leak ever comes out with regard to the Democrats? Never. It's amazing. And by the way, 5 years down the line, Hunter Biden, I think in the fall, I'm not specifically certain at this time as when they actually came across the information, but as to Hunter Biden, the statute of limitations is about to run out. So that's, I guess, the game, is they'll wait till the statute of limitations runs out on the crimes he committed, allegedly, and therefore they can't prosecute him. That's perfect. So you think that the DOJ is going to investigate? It's the Biden DOJ. Come on. Oh, I'm independent. Yeah, okay. That's like an independent medical examination in a negligence case. Never happens. But they call it independent. And now I want to jump into what I think is going to be real important here. Is going to be the case against Daniel Penny. Unfortunately, in the New York justice system under Alvin Bragg, we do no longer indict criminals. We do no longer prosecute criminals. We all let them go. And what we do is we prosecute the people that defend themselves and others. We prosecute them and charge them. So what happened? So Daniel Penny is now indicted by a grand jury of 23 people. Now, mind you, out of the 23 people, only 12 of them have to vote to bring what's called the true bill. But that happened in New York. That should have never gone to a grand jury. There should have never been a prosecution of Daniel Penny. He should have been given the golden key to the city for protecting other citizens. And by the way, when I keep hearing about this race garbage with respect to this case, guess who he was protecting? Oh, that's right. They forgot to mention that the other people he was protecting were blacks and other minorities. And by the way, the two people who were helping them, I saw in that video, it looked like one individual was a black guy. And why isn't that front page news? How is this about race, folks? It's not. It's not. It has nothing to do with race. What it has to do with is the stupid policies of New York City letting everyone go who's a criminal. By the way, this gentleman, this guy Jordan Neely, okay, had 42 prior arrests. 42. He was on the top 50 list to watch in New York City of mental illness. Hey, that's a great idea. Why don't we put him on a list and let him back out on the street? Now, what does this do to America? This has a chilling, destructive effect on civility in New York. From now on, be advised, if you step up and defend someone else who will be charged with a crime, you, by the infamous Alvin Bragg, you, the defender of civility, you will be charged with the violent crime. Yeah. So this guy who died, unfortunately, listen, I guarantee you, and I've heard it from his own lips, Daniel Penny didn't get up that morning hunting people. He got up that morning and just got on the subway like everyone else. And when somebody was threatening other people to kill them and harm them, he stepped up. And yes, something bad happened. But you know what? That's not his fault. Who's at fault here? You know what? Let's charge Alvin Bragg with the crime. 42 arrests and you let the guy out. Let's charge him with that crime. That's what I say.
I think that we should have a national boycott of New York to try to help wake up the citizens of New York to let Penny go and impeach Bragg.
Well, I'm telling you, I am going to call, I am right now issuing from my Bite of Reality show, I am issuing a formal travel advisory for New York City. Stay out of New York City if you don't want to be the victim of a crime. Stay away from New York City. It is one of the cities that is just craving for someone to step up so they can arrest somebody, because they don't arrest criminals here. Why? That's a great question. They just don't arrest criminals.
Well, they arrest them. They just let them go.
Cops don't even arrest them anymore. Do you think a cop wants to get involved? Here, I'll give you some statistics. Liberal cities, soaring homicide crimes. Ready for this? This is great. Here we go. From 2019 to 2022, New York, up 37% violent crime. Chicago, 39%. San Francisco, 37%. Los Angeles, a whopping 48% violent crimes. I mean, every blue city, look at these. I mean, this is just bizarre. This is just incredible. And everybody thinks this is okay. When are we going to look at things on the real matters and say, okay, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. You know, but here we go. Instead of putting money towards criminals and into other people that are in our communities already, that our communities desperately need the assistance and the help, you have mental people? Okay, that's great. Why are you not treating them? Well, let me give you an example why we're not treating the mental illness in this country. Okay? Because we just turned around, and the federal government just gave $290 million to support illegal aliens. Okay? They just sent $104 million to New York City to support illegal aliens. Do you not think that New York City needs $104 million for its minority communities, for its education system? Because their record of achievement in education is horrendous. When you have people just failing grades, can't read, can't write, can't do arithmetic, things that you need in this society to be successful, why is that money going to people who don't belong in this country, who their first act to come into this country is illegal? And then our federal government is breaking the law every single day, but no one's talking about it. Why? Where are the Republicans, the geniuses, all the talking heads? And here's the best part of this. Okay, we sit in our living rooms and we sit on our couches and we yell at the TV. What are we doing about it? Yeah. We elected these guys to go to Washington to straighten things out. Where is it? Why are things not being straightened out? Instead, what are we worried about? Transgender athletes? Is that important? Are we now getting rid of women? So transgender, if I'm a guy, I'm going to go now play in the women's tennis league, in the volleyball league, in the baseball league. Why? Does that seem fair to you? What happened to Title IX? I guess that's gone. Like the immigration laws, those are gone too. How much, see, the right in this country is not vocal enough. We don't know how to do it. And if we do know how to do it, we're certainly not doing it. The left has mastered the action committees. They really have. They have absolutely mastered the fact of how to get things done. They can get people to change. Here in New York City, why do you think Daniel Penny was indicted? Because all of a sudden there were left-wing radical protests, stopping up the subway, jumping on the tracks, creating havoc. So what did he have to do? He had to do something, right? Well, you can't arrest the radicals who were protesting and violently taking out subway cars, right? You can't do that, jumping on the tracks. That would be a crime under normal reality. But in New York City, there's no reality. So remember, if you're a tourist, run while you can. Stay out of New York City. It's ridiculous.
Keep your money to yourself and spend it on something good. Don't let New York have a dime of
yours. No, I wouldn't spend a thing on it. You know, I have to say I've lost my interest also in Fox News lately. I don't know what's going on over there, but they are becoming somewhat more radical left than anything else. Yep. They're really starting to lose my interest. But I'll tell you what is another situation right now that came up this week again. And I'm sure none of you heard about it. And it wasn't all over the news. And you know why? Well, guess what? Jordan Williams, a black individual, another passenger on a New York City terror train subway, was charged with stabbing and killing a perpetrator who had just punched his girlfriend in the face. And he defended her from a serious injury. A punch in the face by a perpetrator. He defends his girlfriend, and he gets arrested. Huh. Now, here's what I would like to ask. Here's a serious question for a second. Wonder what Alvin Bragg would do if his wife was punched in the face. Would he act in self-defense and defend her?
No.
Or would he just stand there like a bobo?
He would reward the one that punched her in the face.
Would he stand there like a bobo, as he appears to be? Where is justice gone? When you cannot defend an individual from bodily injury, this country is doomed. This is what you want? This is the way we want to protect our people, right? Okay, and I heard this morning Justice Garland, he jumped on TV and riled up the races again. He found that the Minnesota Police Department was doing a lousy job. He says that they were breaking the civil rights of all their citizens. Well, okay, you can't get cops in Minnesota now. You think you're going to have cops? There's going to be an outflux of cops. You're going to have nobody who's going to want to police Minnesota. They're going to enter into a consent decree now with the Merrick Garland Department of Justice. And they're going to have an independent oversight. Yeah. Just let everybody go. Don't get involved. Ride around in your cars. Get your paychecks. And go home at night. Because you know what? You don't want your career as a police officer ruined because somebody makes a complaint against you. That's the problem in this country. So, once again, why haven't we heard about Jordan Williams on the front pages of any newspapers all over the place? Black man kills another black man in the New York City subway terror train. Well, guess what? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. Because this is another guy who's defending himself. This is another guy who understands in a situation what self-defense is. Now, all those Monday quarterbacks and all those people sitting around in the studios and all the elite class who have their little private security and their 30-foot-high walls, they all stand there and go, "You didn't need to do that. You've never been in that situation, you knuckleheads. And don't tell me that I've been in the subway, and I've seen what goes on there. And yes, I've been in situations where, you know, at a moment's notice, you're going to have to step up and get in there. But you know what? I won't do that anymore. Thank you, Alvin Bragg, for clearing up my role as a citizen. I'll just stand by. Stand by, watch people get attacked, watch women get pushed onto the subway tracks. Don't get involved, because you're going to get arrested. That's the message. But these imbeciles can't understand that message. But you know what? It doesn't shock me, because it comes from the head down. It comes from the top down. You know, the trickle down? Let me give you a little trickle down information this week also. I could talk all day long about the subway case, but I think you get my point. The heroes in this country are dead. The heroes in this country, they want them all arrested. Because if you depend on government, and the government controls your life, they're in control. You lose. That's not America. That is not America. You know what? I used to say that the fascists speak by the Democrats were all wrong and that it was just a lie. No, they're right. This has become a fascist country, and it's being led by the Democrats. 100,000%. So here we go this week. The geniuses in Washington decided that they were going to bring a censure against Adam Schiff for wasting $16 million of tax dollars and fining him for that amount in an investigation into the Russian hoax. Remember all that? He kept claiming he had the envelope and he saw the proof and the evidence is there. And again, the evidence. He kept jumping up and down. But here's the problem. He kept saying Trump was a Russian puppet. And they hammered him every single day. And the lapdog media, they're not news. News is something that you report that's a fact. They reported what they wanted to. They reported what the DNC directed them to report. And that's the problem in this country. You can no longer trust these media outlets. So what happens this week? So they went and took a vote. There you go. 2 days ago, they took that vote. Quite frankly, this is a spectacular failure of the Republican Party. Spectacular. You know, we barely gave them the keys to the Congress, and they fail. I mean, this is a bunch of clowns. They can't agree on what day it is. So 20 Republicans voted against the censure of Schiff. And you know why? Oh, they were hoping it doesn't set a precedent. That's what they didn't want to do. They're just a bunch of dumbasses because they don't create things. They try to repeat things that the Democrats have already done successfully already. So by the time they get to figuring it out and doing it and they go to the table, the people will look at it and go, well, we've seen this already and this was all bunk. So forget about it. I don't know if it's the Republicans are simply slow thinking, that they're not creative. Certainly not as devious as the Democrats obviously are. So what happens? They turned around and gave the chef, yeah, he's cooking something else up. They gave him a fundraising campaign ad. Oh, that's right. Take this to the bank. That's because of the Republicans. Maybe they made an agreement because of those backdoor meetings, you know. You have to admire the Democrats, though. They understand and they recognize that they are 100% in lockstep. They do not change course. They are all in agreement. They must fax each other in the morning. They use the same words. They say the same things. If any crisis they want to manufacture, they got it. And assisted by the DNC arm of the America, the media, they should call it DNCA. The DNC America. This is pretty much the entire mainstream media. The Democrats are phenomenal at messaging machines. They are. And the Republicans, quite frankly, they have never mastered it. They have never mastered the ability. They're just simply lame and ineffective at producing any coherent messages, ever.
You know.
So now.
Let me interject here
sure.
a second. As you well know, and your little Mexican buddy is. Pointed out a number of times my age deficit, but at least I can stand up and I don't trip over sandbags. But anyway, you know, you're talking about the Democrats and the media, and being that I've been in this business for so long, I can remember when. And Schiff is a perfect example of it. I got all the documents right here in this envelope. And all of a sudden, all of the media starts licking their lips and they're drooling at the mouth. We got to see what's in that. Schiff says he's got it. We got to see what's in that envelope. And the Democrats have learned, and they learned it a long time ago. All you have to do is walk in any media newsroom and whisper to one of the reporters, I got a secret. I got something I know about one of the representatives that nobody else knows about. And all of a sudden, this becomes headline news, you know. There's a secret about Mark the Shark that's going to be released at 6 o'clock tonight.
That's right.
And, you know, we talk about fake news. They can make it up faster in a newsroom than you and I can drink a glass of water or a beer in my case.
Weeks ago I talked about the ethics in journalism and multiple sources for a story. How is it that the entire media block of the lamestream media missed this story on the Russian hoax? You ever think about that for a second? How did the entire media population, all of these claimed investigative people, they couldn't get to the bottom of this? Are you kidding me? Or, more importantly, was it they didn't want to get to the bottom of this?
They don't.
That's the real deal.
That's the real deal. You hit it on the head.
Yeah.
And, you know, there ain't such as investigative reporters anymore. Investigative opinions coming out of the mouth of what is called a reporter.
That's become ridiculous. I mean, here, this week, Janet Yellen got up and spoke. Oh, boy. She should just keep her mouth shut and do her job. You know, three major banks failing. Yeah, within 18 months. That's a great job, Janet. How you doing there? Notice that the regulators were asleep at the switch, perhaps? Well, she said this week, this was great, that decoupling from China would be a mistake. I'm sorry, does she have stock in China? Because
probably.
I can't understand how you want somebody to control your drugs, how you want somebody to control your weapons, how you want somebody to control what you use to pull in all of your stuff at the ports, the cranes. We are a country that produces nothing anymore. So here we go again. The Chinese, I mean, let's talk about the Chinese, being that Janet Yellen brought it up. So they were the great deflector-in-chief, John Kirby, goes out and lies directly to the American public last week. Directly. That wasn't even close to a couching it in phrasing and then give me some political ease. No. He came right out and said, no, they're not operating a spy station in Cuba. No. China's not doing that. Well, by the way, of the oblivious eye of Biden, apparently that spy base is open and functioning. That's 90 miles off the coast of the United States, folks. Remember I talked last week about the Cuban Missile Crisis? Well, I guess we've passed that. That's done, finished, and over. I mean, what more? I really have to understand why we let a Chinese spy balloon traverse itself right across America. And by the way, apparently it didn't need to transfer anything back to China. It just needed to send it right over to Cuba. Because they had that access. Much shorter route. But, you know, this is what I can't stand about this government. When are they going to stop lying to us? Well, this is the next revolution.
You know, you said something a minute ago, and the Democrats want to cut away from China. Well, they'd never win another election.
No, they would never cut away from China. They would not. But I'll tell you this. Here's the problem I'm having here. Do you think for one second, a nanosecond, a millisecond, that China would put up with a spy balloon going over its turf from America? Or a spy balloon? How about a spy station in Taiwan? How about an American operations base in Japan? Do you think they'd put up with that for 5 seconds? Xi would say, you got about 30 seconds to get out of there before I blow it up. Because you know what? Xi has a backbone. He's got the right attitude. And Trump had the right attitude. Despite all his misgivings, Trump was a tough guy. You cannot be a Joe Biden falling off stages, tripping over things, not knowing how to shake hands with real people, thinking that you're going to build a bridge across the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean for a train. I mean, this is not a gaffe. This is a mental defect. This is a problem. And we're not addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Because if you vote for Biden, you're going to get Kamala. Oh, boy. She makes Bernie Sanders look like a right-wing conservative, a MAGA guy. You know, so here we go. Wait a second.
I got a question that. She said she's put more than two words together that made sense, or even you were able to even come up with a conclusion that she is that liberal?
Well, I had four linguists working on it for about a week and a half.
Ah, now the truth comes out.
They were able to see it with their own eyes. I think that was her favorite statement.
How many words does she get between giggles?
About four. But, I mean, here we go. We have illegal Chinese police stations in the United States. I mean, how much more does China need to infiltrate the United States? Why don't we just take up the American flag, roll it up, put it aside? Why don't we raise the Chinese flag now on the White House lawn? Well, we've got the gay pride flag right next to the American flag, right in the middle, in fact. That was disgusting. I hate to tell you. Listen, you want to put the flag up somewhere, you don't put it where they put it next to the American flag. I am sorry. That was an embarrassment. That is a complete embarrassment. But this is proof positive of the emblematic defect in our mainstream media and in our White House society right now. They can lie to the American public without any consequences whatsoever, without anyone even questioning them. I mean, this is the radical left going crazy. And here we had another one this week. This Jaina Abulaban, the Jaina Abulaban, She's a Palestinian woman graduating from El Camino Community College in that conservative state of California. So she gets up during her commencement speech, and she talks about how, my God, Israel should be death to Israel and death to America. What are we doing, America? Why are we allowing her tropes to go out into the public, spewing anti-Semitism, anti-American rhetoric? And we continue to fund these institutes. That's what's against America and against our major ally in the Middle East, and we continue to fund them. You know, why don't we just give Hamas $300-400 million and let them do it?
You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't. You may have just given the Democrats an idea.
Yeah, well, they had an idea, but it died of loneliness. I mean, I'm looking at this mainstream media stuff, and these institutes are complicated, but they are an outrage to American society. They are festering. They are a breeding ground of radicalism. And we just let it go. They come out of these radical education, and I don't even want to call them educational, these radical, almost indoctrination centers, and they infect more of the population. This is Afghanistan. Do you like Afghanistan? Do you like what you saw in Afghanistan? Because we right now in this country are going to be tribalized. Honestly, that's where we are headed. I saw it the other day again. Obama, he awoke. He awoke from his slumber. Yeah, he was talking about the oppression of blacks in this country. And he thought that Tim Scott's speech about how blacks can achieve anything they want was just absolute garbage and that it was untrue. This is to a guy who was elected twice to the presidency, spent 8 years. I don't know if he doesn't remember that he's black or doesn't think he's black, but that's a pretty damn good accomplishment. And what Tim Scott accomplished is absolutely amazing. And don't you ever, I'm sorry, President Obama, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. Don't you ever tell me that this country has not made progress. Are there still issues? Always are. Always will be. You think the Irish and the Italians, when they came here, were treated properly? No.
Obama has the most unique mirror in the world. Not just in the country.
He has no mirror. He has no sense of self.
Well, you know, he looks in it and he only sees the white half. He doesn't see the black half.
You know, I will not get into a debate with race with him because he doesn't understand his own race. People who are victims don't achieve. People who achieve are given a great education, given an opportunity. If you give victims the victimhood, there's nothing to achieve. It's like a participation trophy in life. You just get it for showing up. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I saw this week really what was devastating in this country. Donald Trump in Miami in the federal court. It was the second time I was embarrassed to ever be in this legal system in this country. Or what's left of what they want to call the legal system. And what was even worse is these bimbos and the adults in the room who claim to be anchor people on these new programs. They were spinning this faster and more. There was more spin to what they were saying than a nuclear-powered dryer. This was an absolute catastrophe for America. This is not America as I know it, nor the America that I wanted to live in. This is incredible how this third world operation of chasing down your opponents, by the way, the leading opponent, if you look at the polls, I don't look at the polls, but I'm told the polls. So you look at this, and this gentleman, President Trump, or former President Trump, I'll call him properly, they went after him. And when I read this indictment, it was pretty embarrassing. It was really, there was zero accountability at any level for anything that the federal agencies have done. But you know what's amazing? For the first time in my career, I have heard Democrats touting the sacrosanct justice system when it chases down the leading opponent to a presidential candidate. In a presidential election, mind you. This was just absolutely amazing. The fact that they've been trashing the criminal justice system for the last 8 years, and before that even, under Obama, they were trashing the criminal justice system. All of a sudden, they're touting its merits. This is a 180 like I've never seen. It left the entire tire, not even tire tracks, and they spun around. But you know what? If you don't like what I'm saying, or you disagree or agree with me, why don't you email me at mark@americaswebradio.com. M-A-R-C, mark@americaswebradio.com. Because I'd love to debate with you. Because you know what? After 35 years of being in the system is an aberration of justice currently. You know, this indictment to me appears to be based on pretty much a large portion of it, based on a blatant attempt at destroying what has been known in this country as the attorney-client privilege, which has pretty much been the bedrock of the American justice system with attorneys and clients. That is, I'll just tell you what that is real quick, for those of you who don't know, is the attorney-client privilege is you cannot divulge what your client tells you unless your client waives that privilege. Now, a court, apparently the federal court, ordered these attorneys to come forward and tell them about conversations which should have been confidential. Every ethics opinion that I've ever read and seen, and the ethics code for attorneys in this country, that right of the client, that right of the client is unshakable. The attorney-client privilege is unshakable. I have been in a case years ago where they kept asking me about the conversations with my client in an action against the client, and I could not answer it. I am not able to answer those questions because of the attorney-client privilege unless the client waived it. And I'm betting sure enough that Trump didn't waive that privilege because he spoke clearly and with whatever he asked his question to the attorneys. That had no business. And I will make this prediction here. To make this prediction right now, that a lot of this will be thrown out by a court of law that doesn't want to hunt Donald Trump's head on a stick. Because what they did here is an abomination of justice.
Can an attorney be
disbarred for breaching that?
Yes.
Absolutely. But they're going to claim that the court ordered them to testify. And now it's the court's decision. We're going to have to overturn the court's decision. So, I mean, this is a real quagmire for attorneys. I'm going to tell all my clients not to tell me anything. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything. And when they ask me why don't you have that information, I'm going to tell them, well, because I didn't want my client to get in trouble because I might be ordered to breach my ethics and tell you the conversations I had with the client. That's ridiculous. And it's really, it's absurd. And it really kind of turns upside down the justice system. You know, unfortunately, you have people like Alvin Bragg and Letitia James in New York that should have been brought forth before the ethics code violations that they committed. The fact that they were going after somebody who was innocent. You can't go after someone. You can't run on a platform of going after someone. That is outrageous. But apparently, in this blue state, the Bar Association find this, that's okay. That's okay. You know, this is not something new, by the way. This started with Lois Lerner, with the IRS targeting conservative groups, and basically the inside Democratic track that they have to the swamp. They created the swamp. They live in the swamp. They know the swamp. And quite frankly, everybody keeps saying again, and I'll maintain it, there's no two-tier justice system. It's just no justice. You know, whatever happened to that phrase, no justice, no peace? Where are those people? And by the way, this was the best. Oh, this was the best. CNN goes to, you got it, the brain trust of all time. Occasional Cortex. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's right. That's right. They went out and got her to come on board and tell her all her law school knowings. Oh, wait a second. That's right. She was a bartender, not a law school student. Oops. Oh, well. You know, they brought her out to testify and tell us all about the indictment and how he's guilty. The concept of guilt in this country is amazing. When it comes to Donald Trump, he is guilty, no matter what. If this guy sneezed, they'd charge him with an EPA violation, saying that he's polluting the world. The reality is quite frankly different. They have departed from reality in the prosecution of Donald Trump. It's really sad, actually, if you think about it. The Department of Justice is run by Joe Biden. The specious arguments of an independent counsel to go after Jack Smith. Jack Smith has so many problems in his past. Being overturned by an 8 8-0 unanimous Supreme Court decision against him. And in one of the other attorneys, the main attorney, they got fined $600,000 for their conduct. And she actually resigned. I mean, these are the people who were chasing down Donald Trump. This is adding a lot of credence to what they're claiming. But you know what? Like I always said, innocent until proven guilty. That's a concept that apparently Occasional Cortex was unfamiliar with when she was on CNN. You know, they all laughed about it. They all thought it was funny. Yes. And by the way, if the standard, and I've heard all these experts who come out, this is the 51 intelligence experts again, or are we bringing those out, parading those people out about the, you know, typical Russian disinformation campaign? Uh-huh. And whatever happened to those guys? They still have their security clearances, don't they? Well, here's my question. I've read the Espionage Act, and it's pretty complicated. It's 1917 Act. Oh, we got to go way... What's interesting is the Democrats don't want to talk about 5 years ago with Clinton or anything with Biden that happened last week, but they want to go back to the 1917 Espionage Act. I'm telling you. So the standard of care under the Espionage Act, scholars have said that mere possession is enough to get you under the Espionage Act. So where's the prosecution with Hillary? Where's the prosecution with Bill? Where's the prosecution with Biden if mere possession is enough under the Espionage Act? Oh, that's right. Precedents don't matter when it comes to Donald Trump. That's right. It doesn't matter. And, of course, Hillary has to come out, and they have to say that all the Trump supporters, we're no longer deplorables. By the way, we are now a cult. But I just got to tell you, how many people have been prosecuted for leaking against Trump? None. Why not? Because nobody ever gets prosecuted for doing anything to the Democrats. That's why. So it says 1 minute. 1 minute left to go. Oh, my God. So the incompetence here. The sad part of this is that AOC is not an expert. Don't listen to her. If you're listening to CNN, you need to turn to another news channel. Go to Fox, or more likely, go to Newsmax. Get the real news. Get news that matters. And talk to us. Come to Web Radio, America's Web Radio. We give it to you straight up. So I will wrap it up this week. And you've been listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Thank you for listening. And I wait to hear from your emails. Mark@americaswebradio.com. Thanks for listening.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.